Hello and welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast with Paul Sullentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We are going to continue looking at the six schools who will be joining the American Athletic Conference on July 1. Our guest today is Evan Dudley. He's going to talk about the UAB Blazers. Evan covers UAB for the Alabama Media Group. You can read his work at al.com. His Twitter is at Dudley Do-Right, A-L, and that's Do-Right, D-O-W-R-I-T-E-A-L. Evan, thanks very much for your time. We appreciate it. Let's start with football because we know that football is the driving force in these decisions. We know it's a big deal at UAB, big deal in the state of Alabama. You've got Trent Dilfer there in his first season, which is a fascinating situation. Give us the mood, the atmosphere around Blazers football.
I think there's a bit of excitement just because having Bill Clark for so many years, it's just the newness of it. And I think Trent Dilfer, he may surprise a few folks. There's still a bit of a mystery in the air. A lot of people will say, he was just a high school coach. But, Bill Clark was also that. He only had 1 year as a college football head coach at Jacksonville State before he took over UAB. So this is a program that, has been rising the last, decade, I would say. Bill Clark was hired in 2014. They were dismissed for 2 years after that first season. Then he came back. He never really left. He stayed there, but, they brought the program back and have been successful every season since. He retired before last year due to medical issues. Interim coach Bryant Vincent took over. He's now the offensive coordinator at New Mexico. With Dilfer there, he's come in with a lot of excitement, a lot of freshness. It's a young staff. It's a new staff to college football. And I think because of that, their excitement in recruiting has really helped this program. They brought in 35 players, 10, I believe, from the transfer portal. That's by far the largest class UAB's ever had. A lot of talent in that class, a lot of great players from the transfer portal. So, it's a program that a lot of people might not think will have success this year just because of going under a new coach, but also think just the newness and their fresh look at football will help this program going forward.
So let's give people a little bit of background. You mentioned UAB, so they dropped the program briefly, brought it back, and then there's also a new football stadium that's been built within the last 2 or 3 years. Update fans on the status of UAB football and its appeal within the city of Birmingham.
Well, for the longest time when UAB football came around, they had two bowl eligible seasons, only one bowl appearance before Bill Clark came around. They started in the late 80s, 89 as a club team, became independent NAIA, and then moved into the FCS, Division I, Division II, those sort of things. And then finally became an FBS program in 1996 and, had pretty much been a doormat of FBS for a long time until Bill Clark got there, led him to a 6-6 record his first year without the program for 2 years. After that, they come back. They're picked to finish last in Division I, and they go and finish a 8-5 record that year, make it to a bowl game. And then since then they have been winning, at least bowl eligibility every season. They won three straight division titles. They won two conference championships. So it was a program that's seen its most success it's ever had in the past 6 to 7 years.
So UAB was a charter member of Conference USA back in 1995, conference that has had some great seasons, some great members, and has really gone through a lot of different iterations, I guess. Why is UAB moving to the American Athletic Conference?
I think it's just it's to take the next step for the entire athletic department. Conference USA has seen itself dwindle over the last few years, especially when the first real round of conference realignment started, about a decade ago. Half the Conference USA teams at that point left for the American, leaving, the ones that were still left, UAB, Southern Miss, La Tech, a lot of those schools like that. And then, you know, just coming into that, you know, they've enhanced their programs, you know, basketball. They hired Andy Kennedy, a former Ole Miss head coach and UAB alum. He has that program rolling again. Football is rolling. They built a new stadium. You know, their first season in it was in 2021. So, you know, this is a, you know, an athletic department that's been on the rise. And because of that, you know, operating budgets have increased. And that's really one of the primary reasons, you know, programs move. It's not so much just for the, I guess, you know, the fame of being in a bigger conference, you know, in a Power Five conference or something like that, but it's more so their operating budgets. Cause, you know, there are rumors UAB could go to Big 12. Talking with their athletic director, that was never going to happen just because of the expanse of the operating budgets from the teams that were already there. So moving to the American is the logical next step for them. There's a lot of old conference mates there. You get the renewal of the battle for the bones between UAB and Memphis, a great rivalry between two southern cities, now fully connected by an interstate, which is about, you know, 2.5 hours between them. So it's a really close rivalry. So I think a lot of that helped with them moving to the American and just getting out of Conference USA as it's kind of dwindled over the last few years. They have one of the worst TV deals in college sports as far as, you know, a Division I athletic conference does. So I think just getting out of Conference USA was more so their plan than to just get into a new conference. But the American, I believe, is the perfect place. And, you know, you see them go into more urban cities, whereas, you know, a few of the Conference USA teams went to the Sun Belt, which is more smaller community-driven program. So I think they've landed in the perfect place with the American. I think they'll thrive in some of their programs.
So who or what has been the catalyst behind UAB getting some momentum in its athletic department in recent years?
I would think that lies within their athletic director, Mark Ingram. He's made a few hires, obviously Andy Kennedy, Casey Dunn for their baseball team, a former Samford head coach. Had many years of success at Samford. They bring in A.J. Daugherty with the softball program. He has them going in his first year. So Mark Ingram has really been the impetus of it. He's a great fundraiser. He did that at Temple. That was what he was known for. And since getting to UAB, he's you know, helped start a foundation so they can kind of control their own destiny, if you will. Because being a University of Alabama system school, they are still relying on the Board of Trustees for decisions, but having their own foundation helps them make these decisions easier because they're using their own money. So I think Mark Ingram's just fundraising his ability to, you know, raise that money, as well as, you know, create facilities. You know, he's built or remodeled different facilities all over campus. There's more to come. So that's something he's been a part of, is raising money and the facilities arms race is really where he's been the biggest impact he's had since being there. I believe he was hired in late May, early June of 2015, right before the football program was reinstated. So he's been the biggest, I believe, the cheerleader, fundraiser, you know, the biggest proponent of this athletic department.
Who is the most famous former Blazers athlete?
Ooh, that's a hard question. You either have to go to basketball or football. Basketball, probably more than likely. You know, you're looking at Andy Kennedy, just because of his name. He's been out there coaching. He's been the spotlight. You look at Mo Finley, some of those guys from the UAB team that upset number one seed Kentucky in the NC tournament almost 20 years ago. So, you know, there's a lot of basketball players. Steve Mitchell, guys like that. You look at the football team, you'd probably look at Joe Webb, who had a fantastic NFL career, played almost every position imaginable, you know, special teams, quarterback, wide receiver. You're down to your, you know, your final quarterback. Hey, Joe, you know, we need someone to throw a pass here. Can you do that? Yes, sir, I can do that. So Joe Webb might be one of the more famous athletes from UAB, just with the length of career he had, as well as Roddy White, who could be a Hall of Famer, you know, when it's all said and done, just from his career with the Atlanta Falcons.
If there are Shocker fans who maybe live in the area or maybe travel down there, give us a restaurant recommendation or two if you're in town to watch the Blazers play.
Well, Birmingham has actually become quite the food city. You know, we've got a James Beard Award winner in the city. But you know, around you know, football stadiums, which Wichita fans probably will not be there since there's not football for that on the Division I level in FBS. But you know, you got the around basketball, you've got there's a Dreamland not too far, some Full Moon Barbecues, a lot of barbecue restaurants in this area. Although, preferably, I'm not a Full Moon guy. I'm more of a Jim and Nick's when it comes to chains. But preferably, I prefer a place that's got dirt on the floor and you know, the pit's been smoked and it's already black, you know, from years of use. So, you know, but you know, there's plenty of places to eat. And, you know, just find any barbecue restaurant within the Birmingham area, and you should be pretty satisfied. As well as you know, there's a lot of great sushi places and Latin. There's just a, you know, a lot of great and different foods in the Birmingham area, which has made that city why it's been able to kind of grow more in the past 10 years after it had seen a decline in the late 90s.
So North Texas won the NIT in March. It defeated UAB in an all-CAUSA final. Florida Atlantic, of course, went to the Final Four. So it was a great season for Conference USA in men's basketball. All three of those schools will join the American in July. What was behind that? Why did CUSA hit it so big in basketball last season?
Well, with FAU, a lot of those players had been in that program for several years with Dusty May, so they're experienced. And in college football, that's college basketball. That's something you really can't look over is experience, especially with so many guys leaving after, you know, their first or second years in college, having a team that's around that long, that's that experience and know each other that well, really, you know, really proved what that can do. As well as they brought in a couple of guys from the transfer portal that helped them out, but it was primarily a team of experience. You look at North Texas, just their scheme, the way they played, they, you know, played with the slowest pace in college for basketball. They're the top defensive scoring team in the nation. They just slow you down. They're efficient. Now, of course, their head coach has left, but, you know, they're who they hired, you know, is kind of in his mold. So he'll continue that tradition of playing really strong defense, very efficient offense, and just wearing you out and making you work for everything. And UAB will have a new challenge. You know, they lost six seniors, a couple of players to the transfer portal, but they brought in a whole bunch of new guys through the transfer portal this past season, as well as some JUCO signees. They had three of the top 10 JUCO signees. They brought in Ole Miss's James White, Arkansas's Barry Dunning, UNC's Will Schaefer, who was an Alabama native. You got the three JUCO guys, as well as a couple of prep signees who should help them out going forward. But it's kind of a reloading for Andy Kennedy with the basketball team this year. But I think they'll see no slowing down from that program.
So Andy Kennedy, former Blazers player, great player there. He's been very successful in his three seasons, 22 wins, 27 wins, 29 wins. Why has he been the right guy? Why has he been successful there at UAB?
He understands what UAB basketball means. Gene Bartow created this program from dust. You know, he was a guy who was going to take over for John Wooden at UCLA, was an assistant there. So this is a guy who knows how to win. You know, he was involved with Memphis basketball for many years, AD, who was a consultant with the Grizzlies after retiring from UAB. But, you know, he created this UAB program in and of itself. They went to many NCAA tournament appearances under him while they were an independent, into the Sun Belt, and finally into Conference USA. So it's just a program that's built on athletic department that was built on basketball in and of itself. And Gene Bartow was a big part of that. And, you know, Andy Kennedy is a disciple of his. And Andy Kennedy is returning this program to that Bartow standard, as he calls it. And I think that has a lot to do with it. You look at his success at Ole Miss. You know, they mutually parted ways a few years ago. Ole Miss did not have much success after that. You know, but Kennedy is a guy who, you know, knows the way around basketball. He's got a lot of contacts in the basketball world that helps them with their scheduling, as well as just, you know, reaching out and able to get some guys from the portal, which Andy has done an immense job these last few years. You know, he's brought in Trey Jemison. He's brought in Quan Jackson, Jelly Walker. You know, he was one of the top scorers in the nation the last couple of years. So, you know, he knows how to evaluate talent find it in the places, bring it in, and really get them to play to this Bartow standard of competing for championships and making it to the tournament.
So the Blazers play in Bartow Arena, seats about 9,000 people, I believe. Describe the arena, describe the atmosphere when things are rolling and there's a big game.
It's an old school arena, very much whole pit wise, the stands up high, but it can get quite loud. I've not seen a sold out basketball game in my few years of covering, just because basketball was kind of going through some troubles at that time with their former coaching staff until Andy Kennedy. Obviously, the pandemic hurt a little bit as far as attendance these last few years, but it's starting to grow. And even with a half filled Bartow Arena, it can get quite loud. It can get very raucous. These are fans who love basketball because that's what they were treated to first. That was their first love for this program, was the basketball program. But I've seen that place full, most notably for a boxing match. Deontay Wilder, the former heavyweight champion, Olympic bronze medalist from Alabama, he had a few of his matches in Bartow Arena, and quite loud. It's a great atmosphere. It's right there in the middle of the city in the downtown area. So it's got great potential. And I think moving into the American, kind of renewing old rivalries, meeting up with old conference mates, is going to create more excitement than what they've had these last few years in the former iteration Conference USA. And just with having those teams back, it's going to create a lot more buzz. And I think attendance will continue to rise under Kennedy, especially as we come out of the pandemic and people are, searching for more things to do to get back out. As we've seen these last couple of years, more people are getting out and everything like that.
Describe Andy Kennedy's style of play.
It's intense. They're going to get after you on defense, and then they're going to play fast on offense. They're going to try to score the ball as fast as they can. They're going to try to be efficient, but they're going to rebound. They're going to play defense, and that's going to be the name of the game for them. You look at the last few years, their defense has been very good. Maybe last year, this past year, a little bit of a letdown. Of course, they had about a month's time where they went through some problems when Jelly Walker got injured. But, he was really the offensive focal point these last few years. But it's really been built on defense, rebounding, ball control, being the more physically dominant team, even though they might not have the physical dominance that some other teams might have. But it's just that that thought process and that mentality of being that tough team, and that's really helped them. You look at Quan Jackson a couple of years ago, he's a guy that reminded me so much of Dennis Rodman, a guy who's just going to go out there and fight for every single rebound, every ball, every steal, every bounce. He's just there and giving everything he had. And that's kind of the mentality of this program Andy wants, is just that intensity and just a complete attack on everyone.
Who is UAB's biggest rival?
Since going into the American now, it will be Memphis. That was a long-time rival, battle for the bones. You've got the greatest trophy in college football, a bronzed rack of ribs. If you crack that trophy open, you'd probably find some old bad ribs are not good anymore, but they'd probably still be in there somewhere. But it's a great rivalry. Two southern cities, about 2 to 3 hours away from one another. So that's obviously going to be their biggest rival. In the last few years, you can see Rice starting to develop a little rivalry with them, beating them twice in a row on the football field. You look at UTSA; these are more football rivalries that have been created. Memphis kind of takes through all sports for them, though. That's just the team that UAB loves to hate. The same with Memphis and UAB. So that's probably one of the more exciting things with them joining the American, is just that renewal of that rivalry, because it was so intense back in the 2000s.
Yeah, and that would take them back to the early days of Conference USA when Memphis was in that, and Louisville, and a lot of schools back then that have gone through Conference USA. Describe what's the dynamic, the relationship between UAB, Alabama, and Auburn? Do they play in some sports, not in others? This could probably be a separate podcast, but how would you kind of sum up the dynamic in the state?
There's been some contention between UAB and Alabama fans for some time, just because you know, the Alabama Board of Trustees does control the UAB athletics program, essentially, at the end of the day, just because they are a University of Alabama system school. But they do play each other in certain sports, mainly baseball and softball. They do their midweek games with Alabama and Auburn. I believe Auburn and UAB played a few years ago in basketball. I do not foresee an Alabama and UAB regular season matchup in my lifetime, because UAB is currently 1-0 against Alabama with an NIT victory, I believe in 88 or 89, I believe. So, you know, they're probably never going to schedule them ever again. It'll have to be during a tournament, a postseason tournament play for them to ever match up. And football, I don't think Alabama and Auburn are, Alabama and UAB will ever play, just because of the system connection. And there, you know, there's not really a payout, because you're just using your own money to pay someone else who's going to use your own money, because it's the same system. Auburn and UAB have played once on the gridiron. That was UAB's first game as an FBS opponent, which I believe was a 35 or 36 nothing loss to Auburn. But you know, they've played once on the gridiron. But you know, it's mostly baseball, softball, soccer, tennis, you know, some of the more Olympic sports, things like that, that they'll usually play Alabama and Auburn. But, you know, football, basketball, I just don't see any of that happening with Alabama anytime soon. Maybe Auburn again, but definitely not Alabama. Of course, now UAB AD Mark Ingram, you know, he wants both Alabama and Auburn fans to kind of accept UAB and be fans of UAB as well. He's like, you know, you can be an Alabama fan and a UAB fan, be Auburn fan and UAB fan, you know, still have those programs you're passionate about, but also become a fan of UAB, because you know, he wants it to be for everyone. So you know, I think it's growing a little bit more. There's not as much contention between Alabama and UAB as time continues to pass between that NIT loss almost 40 years ago. So I just think as that continues to grow, you'll see a lot of these programs start to play one another, especially just in this new landscape of sports as it continues to ever evolve.
So you mentioned UAB baseball having some success. UAB softball had a really good run, made a super regional in 2013 and several NCAA regional appearances. Tell us what Shocker fans should know about those Olympic sports at UAB.
Well, baseball, I'd say this past year was probably a down year for them, especially after Casey Dunn comes in last year in his first season, doubles their win total from this year before. This year, it just really came down to not being able to finish games. I believe they were 5-13 in a one-run game. So it was just kind of a year where he was kind of having to bring in a lot of talent. You know, a lot of the talent he did have graduated that first year he was here. But with Casey Dunn, seeing what he's done at Samford for so many years, I believe he'll get the program right back on track going into next year, his third year. Softball, they bring in A.J. Daughtry. He was a JUCO softball coach for many years, won many titles with Wallace State in Alabama. They hired him in his first year. They finished second in the regular season standings. In the final weekend, they had a chance to win the regular season at Charlotte, wasn't able to do that. And they were 0-2 in those Conference USA tournaments, so they're out real quick. But I think it's a program that you know, that's going to continue to build, especially with AJ there. They've had trouble retaining coaches the last few years. They'd come in for maybe a year or two and then leave for an assistant job out of Power Five program. But I think with AJ coming in, living in Alabama for so many years, coaching at the JUCO level, he has a understanding of what he wants to do in the state. So I believe he'll remain there for the foreseeable future and will continue to grow that program as well.
UAB will join Rice, Texas San Antonio, North Texas, Florida Atlantic, and Charlotte in joining the American. The other five schools, what jumps out at you from that group? What should Shocker fans know about or pay attention to from some of those other Conference USA schools that will be making the move?
You look at a lot of the Tech schools, North Texas, UTSA, Rice. Obviously, there's always abundance of talent they can pull from. Obviously, Wichita gets a lot of guys, you know, from Texas as well, with Kansas being so close there to Texas. You know, you only got Oklahoma there in the middle. But, you know, I think those Texas teams will always have a chance to be successful just with the talent they're allowed. You look at FAU, you know, who wouldn't want to go live in Boca Raton for about 4 years and go to college, you know, a mile away from the beach. And then you got Charlotte and some of the more more urban cities like that that are coming in, and they've had some success. But do you look at today? Charlotte parted ways with their men's basketball coach today, so it's an interesting thing with some of these programs that they try to maybe improve their coaching or some of their other programs in other aspects to try to compete on this next level. But I think you'll look at some of the Texas schools, specifically North Texas, UTSA. UAB, FAU, I think those four programs will definitely be able to compete in a lot of different sports upon coming into the American.
Evan Dudley, he covers UAB athletics for the Alabama Media Group. You can read his stories at al.com. Evan, thanks for giving us some insight on the UAB Blazers. We appreciate your time.
Happy to help. Glad to be on with you.
Hi, this is Rick Miuma, president of Wichita State University. Check out the latest episode of the Forward Together podcast. Each episode, I sit down with different guests from Shocker Nation to celebrate the vision and mission of Wichita State University. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Great insight as always. Thanks for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can always find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.